Shut up and sit down.
It's our weekly hockey podcast with Brian Metzer, the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Glad you're with us here on Breakfast with Bens today as we get set for a second straight Penguins game. They are taking on the Calgary Flames tonight on 105.9 The X. You can listen to Mets pregame, postgame, and intermission on The X, your home for the Pens. A loss last night to the Edmonton Oilers 6-3, and now a quick turnaround against the Flames, two really quality teams out west. Mets, I look at that game and I think it's pretty easy to break down. Good start and then a lousy second period. Probably their worst period of the season, wouldn't you say?
Well, they were only outshot 26-4, Tim. So I think you're being a bit extreme in your analysis. And if anything, it just gave me a want to lobby the league to have teams, you know, in this society where you kind of just can get whatever you want, whenever you want. Go to the league and say, we only want to count one period per night, and you get to pick which period, but you have to hash it out with the other team. Because Penguins were just, they were outstanding in the first period. I thought they were really, 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 really solid. Ricard Raquel was all over the place. Sid was all over the place. The team in general was really just locked in. And then poor Tristan Jarry, who played really, really well in this game. He finishes with 41 saves and a 6-3 loss. They leave them out to dry. They did not have a shot of their own after the 10:29 mark of the second period. And by the time that they got out of that frame, it was too little too late. They were too deep a hole to climb out of, I think, even against the Edmonton Oilers, not necessarily known for their stout defense. But boy, what a wretched period. And you could really say they weren't all that solid in the third either, even though they kind of matched Edmonton 12-12 in shots and probably got it going a little bit more, but ugly, ugly night. And that second period is one we'll be thinking about for a long time. It came two shots shy of the all-time record against them. The Flyers and the Islanders each put up 28 shots in a period against the Penguins. One in 75, I think, and the other one back in, I think it was 2018. Funny thing is, when the Flyers had 28 shots against the Penguins in 2018, the Penguins actually won that hockey game.
Well, they had a similar period in their direction in the first, and then things just collapsed in the second. Where did you see things go the most wrong, the most frequently in that second period for Pittsburgh?
Well, I will say one turning point seemed to be right when Connor McDavid was injured. You saw that thing with Petrie and him coming together. He goes down and crashes hard into the goalpost and had to leave the game for a little bit. Edmonton seemed to feed off of that because as soon as that happened, they got the power play opportunity and scored a bit of a pinball goal. It came in from Tyson Barrie at the point, and it looked like it went off of an Edmonton player, maybe off something else, and then ultimately off Jan Ruda and into the net behind Jarry, and that got them going. And it just seemed like the Penguins weathered the storm, at least Tristan Jarry did, but then the next thing you know, they were able to put together three goals over the span of the final 5 minutes or so of that period. And it really was just the Penguins stopped playing the way they were in the first. They weren't skating anymore. They weren't doing all the little things that they were doing, which was attacking off of transition. Edmonton started doing that. Penguins credited with 10 giveaways in this game, if I'm not mistaken, as well. They got really sloppy with the puck. They were just kind of slinging it around, and it looked like every time we've ever seen a version of them that was sloppy and not good and not having any attention to detail, that's what surfaced in the second period, and it was their undoing because you can't do that against a team like Edmonton with all of that offensive firepower. They were under siege. Every time the Penguins got up the ice, Edmonton found a way to get the puck and go right back the other way. And 9 out of 10 times, it seemed like it was off of a Penguins turnover that created the opportunity going back the other way for the Oil.
For many of the good things that Petrie has done so far, and he has done some good things for the Penguins, it seems like the negative is he has a propensity to wind up in the box. And when he winds up in the box, the penalty kill has a propensity to allow those goals to go in.
Yeah, it seemed like there's a couple of games here and there where they've tightened it up a little bit, but I think it is still, the PK is still one of the biggest weak spots on this team. It's something they've got to really focus on getting better at. And I know there's some different players involved with it now. It's not exactly the same that we've seen in past seasons. When you look at who's killing penalties now, for the most part, you see Josh Archibald getting that opportunity. Ryan Poehling is out there getting a chance to do it. Jeff Carter, who was a part of the unit last year, is out there doing it. But they're essentially the big three forwards that are involved, with Kasperi Kapanen getting a little taste. Last night, he ended up with only 38 seconds. But I've seen Mike Sullivan use him in that capacity more than he has in the past. So I feel like it's something that has gotten a hair better from where it was early in the season, but it is still a big-time bugaboo. And to your point about Jeff Petrie, he is now looking at having 10 penalty minutes in just six games. And sometimes it's not every single night that he takes the penalty, but on nights when he does take one, he's sometimes in there two and three times, such as he was against the Montreal Canadiens a week or so ago when he faced his old team and went to the box three times, including once in overtime, which was the big-time difference maker and allowing the Canadiens to get the man advantage and the overtime winning goal.
It's tough to think about the good things that happened in the first period with the way the last two periods went, but I'll try. What'd you think of Raquel, and how do you think they're patching over not having Guentzel?
I would say, being a couple games into this scenario now, you see them doing an okay job of offsetting the loss of Guentzel. Danton Heinen was really solid the first time he got pushed into that role. And last night, just looking at the way the line was playing minus Guentzel, it seems like Raquel kind of took it on his shoulders to become more of a bull in the china shop. I mean, he was all over the place, barreling to the net, had a couple of other really unique scoring chances, not counting the ones in which they even scored on. I know one was the power play goal, but he was really outstanding on the play he made after taking a beautiful outlet pass from Tristan Jarry to bowl into the zone and take a defender with him into the corner before feeding Sidney Crosby. So I think that we're seeing a lot of what people anticipated that we would see from Rickard Raquel. He seems to be solid now in terms of his conditioning. That was an issue when he came on board here. People thought that he was maybe fighting off some conditioning issues. And if you listen to Brian Burke, as he explained to us at the Penguins Radio Summit, Tim, and I can't remember if I told you this story, he said that Raquel had been pushed a little bit by some family members into a vegan diet over the last few seasons before arriving in Pittsburgh. And it seemed like his body didn't react well to it. Either he wasn't used to it or something. And that really limited what he was able to do. And they got him back on meat, essentially. He's not a vegan anymore, and he's bounced back. His conditioning's where it needs to be, and I've really liked what I've seen from him. And last night probably was one of his better games in a Penguin sweater, even though it was on the wrong end of an ugly loss. I thought he looked like a really solid contributing member of the top line, and it helps offset the loss of Jake Guentzel, who is on the trip, and I talked with Phil Bork about it last night. He said he's still skating in a non-contact jersey when he did get on the ice, but they anticipate, hopefully, maybe by the end of the week, he'll be able to get himself back in the lineup. But I guess that's a wait and see kind of thing.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Flames tonight, 9 o'clock on 105.9 The X. Another late one for you for the postgame show, of course, Mets. But this game against Calgary, well, they lost twice to Calgary last year. And
yep, they were tight games. And at that point, too, when the Penguins were playing them, that's whenever you saw them really looking like one of the best defensive teams in the league last year. They were kind of catching some teams off guard because people weren't sure what to make of the Flames last year. And we obviously saw Jacob Markstrom have the great resurgence season that he did with them. And so, yeah, they still play that style too, Tim, even though they've kind of had a little bit of a changing of the guard. No more Brady Tkachuk there, no more Johnny Gaudreau. Well, you have Jonathan Huberdeau there. Mackenzie Weegar came over from Florida in the trade as well. And I just think they still look like a very good hockey team sitting there cruising along at 4-1 on the season through their first five games. Big thing that stood out to me is they're still playing tight hockey games, though, because in five games, they only have 18 goals for and still managed to win four games and only have a goal differential of +2. So you can score on them a little bit, but you're not getting a ton because you're only seeing 16 go against in the five games. So it's going to probably be a pretty tight checking close to the belt hockey game, unlike what we saw last night against the Edmonton Oilers.
Yeah, and their special teams are pretty good. I think they got the 6th best power play and the 9th best PK. So, special teams are good for the Flames. Last thing, Mets, before we roll, I wanted to get your thoughts on Phil Kessel setting the Iron Man streak in Vegas. He tied it against the Toronto Maple Leafs in a 3-1 win on Monday. Now on Tuesday night, as the Pens are playing Calgary, The Vegas Golden Knights are taking on San Jose, and Phil should get number 990 in a row. It would be so Phil to catch some sort of stomach bug or something like that tonight and not be able to play. Like last night, for instance, he's tying the record. There's a lot of hoopla and buzz in Vegas about it, lots of celebration, and he goes out and scores a goal, his 400th goal in his career in the first period, and then they take it off the board. Like, that would be something so Phil to not be able to play tonight for some reason, or just blow it off.
Well, considering that this is the guy, Tim, that dressed for one shift only to leave for the birth of his child, I think that stomach bug or not, he would get out there for the anthem, take one shift, and then run to the bathroom. I think he'll find a way to get this done. And wouldn't it be maybe the most Phil thing is the moment he sets the record, he has the same thing happen to him as happened to Keith Yandel, and he is suddenly a healthy scratch, and they decide not to dress him for a game and go with a younger player, because that's what happened to Keith Yandel when he set the mark, and that's who he's tied with right now. So funny that we saw that record stand for years and years and years, and now it's going to fall in consecutive seasons.
Mets, thanks a bunch. As always, appreciate it. I know it was a late night for you last night. It will be one tonight as well, so thanks for carving out some time. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks for having me as always, my friend. It's always a pleasure. And tonight won't be near as late as Friday and Saturday when the 10 p.m. face-offs finally get here.
Yeah, that's when it's really going to kick you in the groin. All right, Mets, hang in there.
Thank you, my friend. Take care.
Brian Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Pre-game, post-game, intermission, and also Pens Live Weekly on Saturdays with Paul Steigerwald on 105.9 The X.